And then the last person I'm going to invite up is Alyssa Roth to come and share. And it was really funny. The night that Alyssa and I met each other, I mean, I think we'd like been in each other's presence before, but the night that we met was at the Roastery. And it was one of the nights that I'd invited women to come. And there were like seven women that were going to come that night. And then I think it got cold or kind of snowed or something. And so Alyssa was the only one that showed up, which is totally fine. At first, I was like, oh, actually, I kind of like one-on-one. And I just had a group with like 10 women that I was like, I didn't get to talk to all of them. And I didn't really get to hear, like, really dig in. And so it was like refreshing. And then I had to follow up with the other six, you know. But we ended up talking for like an hour and a half or 2 hours. I think it was late. And it was so awesome. And out of that, I was just, Alyssa told me about her experience with these discipleship groups. And I was like, you have to share that. And so I invited her to do that. So she's going to do that now.
Appreciate your listening. It's always a pleasure to be able to share story. And that's definitely one thing that comes out of, I think are you calling them groups of twos and threes? So I've been journeying with the same women now for a group of two or three for over 10 years. And I just want to share a little bit about my experience in the hopes that it would help you be open to this opportunity for discipleship, because it's been amazing in my life. But I think it's very important that you understand a little bit about my background and my orientation, because I too sat in a group like this and listened to this discipleship journey and being in a group of two or three women and had my own thoughts about it. And so when I was a little girl, I was sort of labeled as the fat girl, and I was teased pretty badly by people at school, and it was a really difficult time for me. I remember my mom taking me to go buy jeans, and I had to buy Pretty Plus. Does anybody remember that? Pretty Plus. I mean, I just hated to buy jeans. I still kind of hate to buy jeans, but anyway, it made me think that, you know, girls are mean. They're just mean. And so that sort of started my orientation and my worldview about women and girls. And then in junior high, I just wanted to be accepted. I mean, I think everybody just wants to be accepted in junior high. And so I thought, I will try out for drill team. I have absolutely no ability with regards to music or, I mean, none. But I was going to do it. And so you were supposed to get in a group of two or three, and no girls would try out with me. And so that was hard. But I was like, I don't care. I'm doing it myself. And it's 30 years later, I still remember kickball change. I mean, I still remember it. I worked so hard at it. So we got there, and we were in the gym, and they told us how it was going to happen. And we were up in the stands, and they said, okay, so we'll call your name, you'll come down, you'll do your routine, and you'll go back up in the stands. And I nearly threw up, because we had to try out not, I mean, it's bad enough in front of the judges, but now we had to try out in front of all of our peers. And I was like, but I have worked so hard. So I went down and I did my routine, and I will never forget, as I walked back up in the stands, kind of the jeers and the giggles and, you know, people looking away. And that sealed it for me. Girls are mean. They're just mean. And I was kind of done with girls. My high school experience was kind of the same way. And then in college, I did everything to get away from girls, right? I mean, I did every internship, I did every overseas study, whatever it was, just to get away from girls. And then when I went into the work field, I chose to be a stockbroker, total male dominated. I mean, no women, none. And I was perfectly happy. I mean, perfectly happy. And then Jacob's Well happened to me. And they started talking about discipleship, and I was all in for discipleship, right? I love Jesus. And I wanted to be like Jesus. And I was interested in discipleship. And then Tim Keel started talking about, you know, we want you to get in groups of two or three males, two or three females. And we want you to really share your life. We want you to be accountable to one another. We want you to get real with one another. We want you to talk about money and sexuality. And, you know, really deep, intense kind of things. And I was like, that is for the birds. Like, who would do that? Who would set themselves up with other women? Remember my worldview, right? Who would set themselves up with other women to just be vulnerable? And, you know I'm not perfect, but I don't want any of them to know I'm not perfect. And then they'd really know I'm not perfect. And I mean, I was just like, forget it. And I'm like, who has the time? Really? Every week you're supposed to get together? I'm like, do these people not have lives? I'm embarrassed to say that, but that, I sat in a group just like this, and I was just like, forget it. And I was. I dismissed it completely. And then, I don't know, a couple of months later, a woman approached me. And she was like, hey, I want you to be, you know, in my small group and whatever. And in my mind, red flags, you know, red lights flashing. It was like, abort, abort, get out, get out. And no one was more surprised than myself when I was like, yeah, I'm in, let's do it. I'm excited. I'm like, later I was like, what have I done? What have I done? And so I started going every week, and I think I was probably a little less than forthcoming because about a month or so in, they were like, let's get together with our families and kind of do a little social and, you know, icebreaker kind of thing. And so they all came over to my house, and they brought a bottle of red wine, and I grew up Southern Baptist, and you did not drink. I mean, that was one of the unpardonable sins. And so they brought me this, you know, beautiful bottle of red wine. I was like, great. Stuck it in the fridge. Because, I mean, right? No one drinks anything like room temperature. I mean, cold or hot, right? And I knew you didn't drink wine hot. So put it in the fridge. So about 20 minutes later, Todd said, hey, let's open that bottle of wine. I'm like, yeah, I'll go get it. It's in the fridge. And I could see it all over his face. I was like, oh, no, mistake, mistake. And like the rest of the evening, I was so afraid that Ashley and Jody and Deanne were going to make fun of me. And they didn't. And then I thought, they're just waiting for LTG. And then they're going to let me have it. And they didn't. And that was kind of the beginning of the journey. And about a year or so later, we decided we needed to go down to the lake for a girls' weekend. And my room was beautiful. It's this beautiful glass. I mean, an entire wall that overlooked the lake. And it was the dead of winter, and no one was around, and it was wonderful. And that night, I went to bed dreaming of looking at that lake in the morning. And I happened to have a nine-month-old at the time. And so I was nursing, and I was pumping. And so in the morning, I just, you know, sat down on the opposite side of the bed, not facing the window. And I threw off my nightshirt, and I pumped, and, you know, I was done. And then I didn't even think. I just stood up and stretched and turned around, thinking I'd see that beautiful, you know, lake. And I came smack dab in front of the grounds crew. Here I am, all my glory, right there. He screamed louder than I did. And so I'm screaming. Jody and Ashley come running down. I tell them the whole story, and they're hysterical with laughter, and I'm hysterical with laughter. And then it dawns on me. I'm laughing at myself. These women are laughing at me, and it doesn't hurt. And it's fun, and it's funny. And I'm different, and I've been transformed, and it was awesome. And then a couple years or a year or so after that, I was so excited to go to LTG that night, and because I was pregnant with my second child, huge, exciting blessing, and we get to LTG, and Ashley shares with us that she has a lump in her breast, and it's cancerous. And LTG for that season wasn't a book study, wasn't a Bible study, it wasn't accountability questions. It was chemo treatment and radiation and surgeries. And I was angry at God. It was unfair that Ashley had something growing inside of her that could kill her, and I had something growing inside of me that was one of the biggest blessings of my life. I was so upset, and I vowed that I would be there for Ashley. I was going to be the strong one. And what happened that summer was she, in her weakest moment, in her sickest time, exhausted, tired, yuck, right? Going through fear, all of it. She was the one that ministered to me. And she taught me that God is in it no matter what the circumstance. And He sometimes even leads you into difficulties and into the wilderness and into the darkness. And you experience him in amazing ways. And it turned my world upside down because I was supposed to be the one supporting her, right? Isn't that what we called them life transformation groups, LTG was all about? And instead, she was the one supporting me. And at the end of that summer, we finished chemo and we birthed a beautiful baby girl. And I realized, I love these women. I'm like, I don't love women. And again, it was, wow, I am different. And I am transformed in ways I would have never, never imagined. And it's in the relationship and the consistency and commitment to the relationship that all of that happened. And I could go on and on, but I won't. I'm just going to stop there. But what I want you to consider tonight, even if this is sort of not your thing, this group of two or three women, that you don't have to be unique or special or cool or awesome to do this. And you don't have to be alike to do this. Ashley's a devout vegan. I love steak dinner. She's much more liberal. I'm much more conservative. It's just the consistency of the relationship and the consistency of the love. And it is our connection that we both love Jesus, that Jesus has been able to really love us. It's just been amazing. And I came across this verse that I don't know if you ever do this, but you read these verses and you go, I have read that a million times. I sing this song to my two-year-old every single night, and this stood out to me like I had never read it before. And so I just want to read it to you. It is Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and this is the Message version. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And I realized that my grade school and junior high and high school experience had put a bucket over the light of God that was in me. And it has been walking with Ashley and Jody and Deanne and Shanna and Katie that has chipped away at that bucket. And as they put holes in that bucket and tear that bucket out, my light shines, 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 shines. And you all have amazing lights. And you may recognize that and be really shining bright right now. And you may not be. But the more you interact and the more you have devoted relationship with others, the more your light will shine.
Sell you on it. I mean, seriously, that was amazing. That was amazing. Thank you so much.
Gosh, I don't even know where to go from there. I just feel like, let's say amen. I'm just going to share a little bit about the mentoring piece of this, just to flesh that out a little bit for you. This one-on-one mentoring, I mean, life on life, it might sound pretty self-explanatory, but the way that my life's been impacted by this, after I graduated college, I did a summer staff intern program at a church here in Kansas City, and then ended up on staff at that church. And through these various asks, you know, people say, I see this in you. You want to come do this? I'm like, Yeah, sure, okay. So I ended up on staff there, and I was on the youth staff. Our youth pastor left, the director of the youth staff left to go to another church, and so one of the other pastors kind of took us under his wing, the youth staff under his wing, and he just said, hey, would you guys like to meet with me? Let's read this book together, and we'll just read a chapter a week and then get together and talk. And I was like, okay, I really, appreciated this man and was like, yeah, I would sit under you, you know, with this stuff. So we did that just week after week, talked, and then years later, we were dating at the time. We would go over and we got to know him and his wife, and we would go over and babysit their kids when they go out on a date, and then they'd come home from a date, and then we'd talk for like an hour and a half. And I really, now that I'm a parent and have children and go on dates, I have no idea how they did that. After you're like, you come home from dinner, you're like, you kind of want to go to bed. And we would be there like till like 11 midnight sometimes, probably beyond that. And I just think they had a vision of the kingdom because they wanted to pour into us. And I don't even know that they saw it like that. I mean, they wanted to share life with us, but they were pouring into us constantly. The way that we saw them interact with their kids, the way that we saw them put them to bed, the way that we saw them cook dinner for them, just all kinds of stuff. And it was just, I didn't know it at the time, but it was like a sponge. You know, you just like absorb all this stuff. And to this day, we consider them mentors of ours, like a spiritual mother and father. We talk on the phone. They don't live in the city anymore, so we go visit them when we can. But I can't express to you the amount that who I am today has been shaped by the relationship with that couple and who my husband and I are today. And so we want to see that happen here and make that, I don't want to say make it available. It's available, but help make those connections. Cause we know there are women who desire that in their life, but don't necessarily know how to. I mean, it's kind of weird to be like, hey, will you disciple me? Or, hey, do you want to be discipled or mentored? You know, it's hard. And so we want to do that. And one of the things that my mentor had said that kind of he was helping cultivate a group of us, we were young adults at the time, like post-college, but, you know, in that stage of life, which is hard. And he said to us, because we didn't feel really a part of the church that we were a part of. It was not an old congregation, but just older than us. We were in our young 20s, mid-20s, and just didn't feel like we fit in. And he said, you know, he was cultivating this vision of discipleship and mentoring and stuff for us. And we're like, but we don't really know how to connect with those people and do that. And he was like, well, even if you don't feel like they're approaching you to do it, you need to approach them to do it. Cause they need that in their life too. And whether that happens for you, you need to do it for the next generation too. I mean, he knew that it would happen, but he was also casting this long-term vision for us that you're going to then do it to other people, and which was really hard at the time to be like, you know. And even now I'm on the upper side of the 30s, which I'm fine with, which in this church is like above the median for sure, and not even taking out the kids probably, but which would really skew it down, but I look at myself and I'm like, even now today, I'm like, mentor, really? But I have, you know, accepted, like I have had life experience and I do have things that I can share with other people, and holding it very loosely and within, you know, God's overarching world of just care and considering that person. And it's been a blessing to me to do that in my life. And it's been a blessing to have that in my life. So, so that's the mentoring piece. Right now, we just want to take a few minutes to give you a chance just to break, move around, just to kind of not, we're not going to break up into small groups, but maybe just the person next to you, or if there's three in a row, you can just, and I just want you to answer the question, what excites you about this? Just the things that we've talked about tonight, what excites you about it? What's touched your heart? And we'll just give you like 5 or 7 minutes to share that. Does that sound good? Thank you for sharing, and thank you for coming here. I will say it was so encouraging and inspiring to hear what came out of those conversations. And a lot of people shared some really heartfelt, heart-wrenching, intimate, you know, just, I mean, spoke very plainly. And I really appreciated that, because we can't respond adequately to what the needs are unless people tell us, you know, and are serious and real and genuine and authentic about what they need. And that happened. And so we really appreciate that. Now, I want to spend just a few minutes telling you kind of where we go from here. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about this packet. So I'm a type one on the Enneagram, which I've just learned fairly recently. And ones are the reformers. As my friend Sarah says, ones make the world go round because we get things done. But ones are very detail-oriented. I mean, typically, I think they're detail-organized. We see the world as black and white, justice-oriented. And so when Jesse and I were talking about this evening, and we were talking about the itinerary and the flow of the night, she's like, what do you want, you know, to women to leave here with, and what do you want to ask them? And I was like, yes, there needs to be an ask, a very clear ask. And one of the mentor that I was talking about earlier, which you may have seen in the packet or whatever, is Dallas Willard. I've read a ton of his material on discipleship, and he says that he talks about the ask just in life is such an important thing. And Alyssa was referring to this a little bit in her. It's just when you see something in someone and you call it out in them and ask them to consider, like, most of my jobs have happened in my life have happened because someone said, I see this in you. Would you come along and do this? And at the time, most of the time, I was like, are you talking to me? You know, kind of thing. And that is what the body of Christ is being able to call things out in you. And so tonight, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to present a very clear ask, because I want you to know what we're inviting you to, and that when you leave here, you don't feel like this, like they asked what we wanted and they presented this, but then it's like, now what happens, you know, kind of thing. So two things is I'm going to ask you to commit to serving or engaging in one of these four pathways, specifically the first three. And please understand that we understand everyone's at a different time in life and different seasons. And I've been a small business owner for eight years and had four kids during that time. So I understand there are seasons in life. But you're here, and you're here for a reason. So, you know, that's why we're asking. So in these four pathways, the large gathering events, the small social gatherings, and the Bible, the ongoing spiritual formation, just to ask you to consider to commit engaging in one of those pieces. With the large gathering events, we do have a women's event team who has been putting those on for the last, you know, year and a half, and will continue to do that. We'd love to add more women to that team who would be interested in helping host those events. There are some women here tonight who are on that team, and I just was wondering if they would stand up really briefly. I know Emily and Connie and Kim and Annie. Thank you. And then if you know Kim Larrick and Whitney Black, and then Elise Saunders is also a new addition. Yes. So anyway, those are the women that are going to be planning out the events for this year, for 2014. And we'd love for you to join them in just giving your input on what you think women at Jacob's Well would like to come to and like to participate in. The second thing, the smaller social gatherings, you know, Sarah already mentioned this. I didn't put her contact information on here just because I didn't want people to be confused. So I would love for you to just send an email to me, and then I'm going to funnel all of those to her. Actually, you don't need to send an email to me. I'm sorry, I spoke too soon. In a week, what we're going to do is send you kind of a follow-up, just question thing of like, now that you've had time to think about this, what are the things that are standing out to you? And from that, I'll be able to give those names to Sarah. I forgot in the midst of it. I was like, oh yeah, we did streamline that. But, and like she said, there are women in here, and there are women who are just natural connectors of people that you love to like network people. You're like, my friend Sarah Hartman is one of those. It's just like, she just like pulls things together and makes connections happen. And so that is what Sarah's going to be doing. And we would like to have a few more women who are like that, who like to find out what people are interested in and help raise them up to be people who lead these type of events. Or if you're like, I am totally passionate about knitting and having a knitting circle, or I'm totally passionate about the speaker who's coming, and I'd love to get a group of women together to do that, you know, let us know. So there'll be a place for you to respond on that. Same thing with the large group, the women's event team on that form. And then the third piece, the ongoing spiritual formation, you know, obviously the Bible study is coming up here next week. That's a great way to jump in. And many of you in this room have already signed up for that, which, as I said before, I'm blown away by the response that we've had so far. And we're really excited about that. The second thing I'd like to ask you is just to invite you to consider this discipleship twos and threes group and the mentoring piece. I've been thinking about it in the terms of this launch group of women who would commit to doing this over like the next 6 months. And I don't want to put like too much time frame on it, but just in the sense that we can gather, we know who's doing this. We want to know who's doing this so that we can help resource you if that is what you need, and also to help bring you back together at some point and share ideas and share experiences. I mean, just hearing Alyssa talk tonight was like, I mean, I think you got a great picture of what those groups can be. And so we want to know who is doing those. And you can go leave here and go do it on your own, and that would be great. But I think the community would benefit greatly if we knew that you were doing it. And then later on, our hope is to bring the people together who are doing that for maybe, like, I don't know if it's an overnight retreat, or I don't know what form exactly it's going to take, but to get them together and share ideas and share experiences and, you know, hone things so that we can better resource women. You know, it's not rocket science, but it's also like it takes some initiative and some commitment. And I think the piece that Alyssa talked about that was so key is the consistency. And the reason that they used to call them LTGs, Life Transformation Groups. We're calling them Discipleship 2s and 3s, just because in the name, we wanted it to convey really the number of people involved. And it can, I'm not going to say it can't be 4, you know, or whatever, but we want you to understand it needs to be a small group of women, because we think when it's a small group of women that you are more invested in it, because if there's 2 or 3 or 4 and you don't come, it's a very significant part of the group that's not there. Whereas if there's 10, it's a little easier to say, I don't really feel like going tonight, or I don't feel good. I'm just going to stay home on the couch. And you can tell that the consistency piece is really important. So meeting weekly or every other week, just regularly being together and sharing life. So one thing I need to make sure you know about is the name tags that we have made sure that you were signed up in this group when we knew that you came tonight. I know the line got really long, and so Jesse took down names, and those have already been entered in the group. So if you got a name tag or if your name was on that piece of paper, we know you were here tonight, and you'll receive this follow-up, you know, thing that I'm talking about in a week. If your name didn't get on that piece of paper or you didn't get a name tag, please make sure to tell Jesse or myself that you were here so that we can make sure that you get these follow-up pieces, because we want to make sure that we do a good job of following up with everyone. And then just so you know, Bill Pollock, our amazing facilities manager, has taped this for us tonight so that if someone who wasn't able to come, that they could listen to it online, because I know there's, you know, just things that happen and people weren't able to come. So we'll send that link out in that same follow-up, and people can listen to it, other women can listen to it that way. Okay, I just remembered, with the discipleship groups of 2 and 3 and mentoring, I have all these notes like all over the place of like, make sure you say this and remind this. It's not my most organized self, but is some of you women are sitting here and you immediately know like the 2 or 3 women that you would like do one of these groups with. And you're like, I could leave here today and go call them and do that. Others of you are like, I'm not sure, I need to kind of think about that. Maybe you have a large group of friends that you're like, I don't know. And then there might be some of you who are new to the city or for whatever reason, just they don't immediately come to your mind. And so we want to acknowledge that everyone's at different places and just say, well, there'll be places for you to respond on this follow-up, that if you're like, I want to do one of these groups, but I don't know who I would do it with, then we will help get you connected with someone else who wants to do it too. And the same with the mentoring piece, that will be on there to where, you know, if you're wanting to be mentored to mentor, you know, we're going to help facilitate that happening as well. So again, all of this stuff will be on the follow-up piece that comes in a week. I think that's all. Okay. So Jesse's going to come up and just pray to close us out, but I did want to say it's 8:25. So you're welcome to stay and hang out. You don't feel like you need to rush out, or if you have any questions that you just want to ask us right now. I love that there are so many women here, but I also am like, I'd love to talk to all of you, and I know I'm not going to be able to. So feel free to, my email is on the front page of this at the bottom. Okay, and now that I'm picking up this packet, I'm remembering that I needed to tell you about this packet. So you're like, oh, you just said we were done. I'll be quick. So this front page fleshes out those ministry pathways The second page is Discipleship 2-3, a sample format. These are some, I got these questions from Tim Keel. I think they reflect what the old, some of what the old LTG questions were. So this is a great jumping off point for you. If you've never done a group like this, we would highly recommend that you start here. They're great questions. And I just think, you know, a lot of times as women, we can get together and we can spend like week after week after week chatting. And there's something to be said for getting to know each other and that kind of thing. But that's not what this is for. This is for like, we're going to get to know each other and go deep and get intimate and share life with each other. And so I think this can help you do that. If you have been meeting with something like that, or after a time, after you've done this, Tim even said like his group that's met for a while, they don't do this every single time. They might do it once a month. And then other times, you know, they do other things. But we also, the next two pages are book recommendations that if you wanted to read a book together and then talk about it. There's various levels of books in here, from books that you could read together as a group, even during your time together. It would take you like 10 minutes to read it, and then you could discuss it right then, all the way up to like some pretty dense, like you're going to have to sit down and chew on this stuff. And so I want to say that, and we tried to make those explicit in there so that you're not like picking up Dallas Willard's The Divine Conspiracy, and then like you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know, because it's like his masterpiece of discipleship. So you're going to have to like sit with it. Like I read a page and then I'm like, okay, I got to process that one. And I'm not even kidding. Sometimes it's a paragraph and you just have to be like, whew. So, but it's very, very, very good. So there's a range on here of that. And then at the back, the very last page is retreat recommendations. And I just wanted to include this because when our women's event team was meeting, we were talking about potentially planning a retreat for later this year for the community. But in that time, we talked about just the how wonderful it is to take personal retreats and how it's beneficial to get away for a night or 2 nights or 2 days, you know, sometimes. And so I asked Mimi Keel, who does this as a regular discipline in her life, to just put this together for me and to share with you, because I thought a lot of times, even if we want to do that, we're like, I have nowhere to go. And Mimi's done this enough that she has a lot of recommendations. So she gave some specific things about like the cost, or it has a sink and a microwave. You can eat there or bring your own food, that kind of thing. So I'd highly encourage you guys, you ladies, to think about doing that. Or like I know you mentioned that your LTG did that and went away together, which would be really cool. So now I really think that's it. I'm sorry. I feel like I've been going on forever. So I'll invite Jesse up to, are there any questions just quickly if anyone wanted to shout one out that I didn't cover? People are like, no, I don't want to extend you talking anymore. Okay.
All right, let's pray together. God, I thank you for each woman in this room that has been created in your image, that you knitted together and formed. And I thank you for the gifts and the beauty represented in this group. I thank you for all of the specific giftedness, for the things that these women have inside that bring you joy, God, when you watch us participate in things that you have made us to love, and when you watch us break down barriers and meet with one another. God, I pray for your direction over this. I pray that you would be present with each of these women as they start thinking about relationships with one another, for these gathering events, God, and for the spiritual formation that's going to happen. We put all of this in your hands. And God, we just pray that in the midst of this year, that we would become to look a little bit more like you. We thank you for this time. And just pray that you would bless each of us as we go from this place. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Please, as Kristen said, feel free to stay and chat. Thanks for coming.